Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for all your kind words. I am deeply honored by the trust and confidence Member States have placed in me and determined to be guided by the purposes and principles of the Charter. But first of all, I would like to pay tribute to Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Secretary General, your principled leadership has helped to chart the future of the United Nations. Through the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development, through your commitment to peace and security, through your initiative to put human rights at the heart of our work. Under your direction, the world committed to the historic Paris Agreement on climate change and ratified it in record time. I strongly believe this momentum is unstoppable. Dear Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, it is an honor to follow your steps defending the same values that unite us. Mr. President, 21 years ago, when I took the oath of office to become Prime Minister of Portugal, the world was riding a wave of optimism. The Cold War had ended, and some described that as the end of history. They believed we would live in a peaceful, stable world with economic growth and prosperity for all. But the end of the Cold War wasn't the end of history. On the contrary, history had simply been frozen in some places, and when the old order melted away, history came back with a vengeance. Hidden contradictions and tensions resurfaced. New wars multiplied and old ones reignited. And lack of clarity in power relations led progressively to greater unpredictability and impunity. Conflicts have become more complex and interlinked than ever before. They produce horrific violations of international humanitarian law and human rights abuses, and people have been forced to flee their homes on a scale unseen in decades. And a new threat has emerged, global terrorism. Megatrends, including climate change, population growth, rapid urbanization, food insecurity and water scarcity, have increased competition for resources and heightened tensions and instability. Mr. President, at the same time, the last 20 years have seen extraordinary technological progress. The global economy has grown. Basic social indicators have improved. The proportion of people living in absolute poverty has fallen dramatically. But globalization and technological progress have also contributed to growing inequalities. A lot of people have been left behind, even including in developed countries, where millions of old jobs have disappeared and new ones are out of reach for many. In many parts, youth unemployment has exploded, and globalization has also broadened the reach of organized crime and trafficking. All this has deepened the divide between people and political establishments. In some countries, we have seen growing instability, social unrest, even violence and conflict. And a little bit everywhere, voters now tend to reject the status quo and whatever government proposal is put to a referendum. Many have lost confidence not only in their governments, but in global institutions, including the United Nations. Mr. President, fear is driving the decisions of many people around the world. And we must understand their anxieties and meet their needs without losing sight of our universal values. It is time to reconstruct relations between people and leaders, national and international. Time for leaders to listen and show that they care about their own people and about the global stability and solidarity on which we all depend. And it's time for the United Nations to do the same, to recognize its shortcomings and to reform the way it works. The organization is the cornerstone of multilateralism and has contributed to decades of relative peace. But the challenges are now surpassing our ability to respond. The UN must be ready to change. Our most serious shortcoming, and here I refer to the entire international community, is our inability to prevent crises. The United Nations was born from war. Today, we must be here for peace. Monsieur le Président,
Mr. President, prevention requires us to address root causes, cutting across all three pillars of the United Nations: peace and security, sustainable development, and human rights. It must be the priority in everything we do. Prevention requires us to better support countries in strengthening their institutions and in making their societies more resilient. It also means reinstating human rights as a value to be pursued for its own sake and not as a means to a political end. All people, including minorities of every kind, must enjoy the full range of human rights, civil, political, economic, social, and cultural, without discrimination.
Et protéger et autonomiser les femmes et les filles est primordial. L'égalité des genres est essentielle au développement. Et le rôle clé qu'elle joue dans la consolidation et le maintien de la paix devient de plus en plus indéniable. La prévention n'est pas un concept nouveau. C'est ce que les fondateurs des Nations Unies nous ont demandé de faire et elle constitue le meilleur moyen de sauver des vies et d'alléger la souffrance humaine. Mais lorsque la prévention
Where prevention
échoue,
fails,
nous devons redoubler d'efforts pour régler les conflits. Des crises les plus aiguës en Syrie, au Yémen, au Soudan du Sud et ailleurs, aux disputes de longue date, y compris le conflit israélo-palestinien, il nous faut davantage mediation, de médiation, d'arbitrage
well
et de diplomatie créative. Et je suis prêt à m'engager personnellement
offices,
à travers mes bons offices dans la résolution des conflits, mais lorsque cela constitue une plus-value, tout en reconnaissant le rôle de premier plan des États membres. Monsieur le Président, l'échelle des défis auxquels nous sommes confrontés nous contraint à travailler de concert pour réformer les Nations Unies de manière approfondie et continue. Je souhaiterais esquisser ici trois priorités stratégiques de cette réforme. Dans notre travail en faveur de la paix, notre appui au développement durable et notre gestion interne. Les femmes et les hommes travaillant dans les opérations de maintien de la paix des Nations Unies nous apportent une contribution héroïque au péril de leur vie. Toutefois,
But they are often tasked with peacekeeping, where there is no peace to keep. Greater conceptual clarity and a shared understanding of the scope of peacekeeping must pave the way for urgent reforms. We must create a peace continuum from prevention and conflict resolution
le maintien et la consolidation de la paix et le développement. Nous devons nous appuyer sur les conclusions des trois récents rapports ainsi que les résolutions parallèles de l'Assemblée générale et du Conseil de sécurité. Et le moment est venu pour nous tous, inspiré par le nouveau concept de pérennisation de la paix, de nous engager dans une réforme globale de la stratégie, des opérations et des structures des Nations Unies
as well as structures for peace and security.
Et cette réforme doit également inclure un examen de notre travail dans le domaine de la lutte antiterroriste et un meilleur mécanisme de coordination entre les 38 entités des Nations Unies qui sont concernées. Mr. President, the United Nations system has not yet done enough to prevent and respond to appalling crimes of sexual violence and exploitation committed under the UN flag against those we are supposed to protect. I will work closely with Member States on structural, legal and operational measures to make the zero tolerance for which Secretary General Ban Ki-moon has fought so hardly to make it a reality. We must ensure transparency and accountability and offer protection and effective remedies to the victims. Mr. President, the second key element of the reform agenda concerns the United Nations' support to Member States in achieving the Sustainable Development Goals and the objectives of the Paris Agreement, an expression of global solidarity with their promise to leave no one behind. To do this, we will reposition development at the center of our work and engage in a comprehensive reform of the UN development system at headquarters, at country levels. This must involve leadership, coordination, delivery, and accountability, and we will build on the outcome of the recent discussions among Member States. We must also bring the humanitarian and development spheres closer together from the very beginning of a crisis to support affected communities, address structural and economic impacts, and help prevent a new spiral of fragility and instability. Humanitarian response, sustainable development, and sustaining peace are three sides of the same triangle. This approach relates to the new way of working agreed at the World Humanitarian Summit. To achieve this, we need more accountability on the levels of each individual agency carrying out its mandate, but also its contribution to the work of the UN system and of the system as a whole. A strong culture of accountability also requires effective and independent evaluation mechanisms. Mr. President, the third key area is management reform. We will build on existing efforts and implement the recent initiatives that were approved. But looking at UN staff and budgetary rules and regulations, one might think that some of them were designed to prevent, rather to enable, the effective delivery of our mandates. We need to create a consensus. We need to create a consensus around simplification, decentralization, and flexibility. It benefits no one if it takes 9 months to deploy a staff member to the field. The United Nations needs to be nimble, efficient, and effective. It must focus more on delivery and less on process, more on people and less on bureaucracy. A culture of accountability also requires strong performance management and effective protection for whistleblowers. And it is not enough just to do better. We must be able to communicate better about what we do in ways that everybody understands. We need a substantial reform of our communication strategy, upgrading our tools and platforms to reach people around the world. Finally, management reform must ensure we reach gender parity sooner rather than later. The initial target for the equal representation of women and men among UN staff was the year 2000. 16 years later, we are far from that goal. I pledge to respect gender parity from the start in all my appointments to the senior management group and the chief executive board. And by the end of my mandate, we should reach full gender parity at Under-Secretary General and Assistant Secretary General levels, including special representatives and special envoys. And we need a clear roadmap with benchmarks and timeframes to achieve parity across the system well before the target of 2030. And the same concern applies to regional diversity. Finally, any investment in a stronger UN must take staff into account. I look forward to working once again alongside over 85,000 men and women carrying out our mandate in 180 countries across the globe, many of them in difficult and sometimes dangerous circumstances. With their professionalism, expertise, and dedication, they are the UN's most important resource, a resource that has to be cared for, developed, used efficiently, and whose voice needs to be heard. Mr. President, we live in a complex world. The United Nations cannot succeed alone. Partnership must continue to be at the heart of our strategy. We should have the humility to acknowledge the essential role of other actors while maintaining full awareness of our unique convening power. Our humanitarian and development efforts would be insignificant without the active involvement of member states and the contributions of civil society, international financial institutions, private investors, and even financial markets. Several mediation efforts and peace operations would not be possible without the engagement of regional organizations, particularly the African Union, our most relevant international regional partner, both in peace and security and in development.
Señor Presidente, recientemente hemos puesto en marcha diferentes iniciativas importantes junto con nuestros socios. Along with our partners,
nos corresponde ahora llevarlos a buen término antes de iniciar otras nuevas. Pero en nuestra estrategia hay un vacío.
There is a vacuum, the work with young people.
Durante demasiado tiempo,
for too long,
se han visto
young people have been excluded from the
decision-making
that is affecting their futures.
We must build on the work that has been done
with the support of member states,
and the
youth envoy,
and
civil society.
Pero esta no puede
but this
ser
cannot
una
be an initiative
donde los
by
ancianos
old people discussing
de las nuevas
the younger generation.
Las Naciones Unidas
the United Nations must empower
jóvenes,
young people,
y aumentar su
increase their participation
en la
in society,
su
as well as their access to education,
la formación,
training,
en el empleo.
And jobs.
Mr. President, today's paradox is that despite greater connectivity, societies are becoming more fragmented. More and more people live within their own bubbles, unable to appreciate their links with the whole human family. In the end, it comes down to values, as it was said so many times today. We want the world our children inherit to be defined by the values enshrined in the UN Charter. Peace, justice, respect, human rights, tolerance, and solidarity. All major religions embrace these principles, and we will strive to reflect them in our daily lives. But the threats to these values are most often based on fear. Our duty to the peoples we serve is to work together to move from fear of each other to trust in each other. Trust in the values that bind us and trust in the institutions that serve and protect us. My contribution to the United Nations will be aimed at inspiring that trust as I will do my best to serve our common humanity. Thank you very much.